Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God loves us and he speaks to us in our heart. God wants us to understand what he's doing. Whatever he sanctions us to know and understand, we need to get a good hold on it because it's very important. God loves us and he cares about us in every way. And I love the people of God. I love training. I love for God to train me and prepare me for whatever he wants to do. I've learned something about him. If you stick with what he say and hear him out, not just a part of what he say, but hear him out, gain information, go through the training process, it's a blessing. That's better than gold to me, because out of everything he could have me do, and I'm willing to do whatever he say, and I mean that, and I say it to reinforce it, because whatever God needs me to do, I want to be sure that I'm on it. Fervently. Wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. He deserves the best. And I want to give him my very best. And I don't know what to do with myself. But whatever he give me, it's well evaluated. If he tell you to do anything, you are capable of at least beginning the process of training. So if you're going to see it through, you have to prepare for whatever it is he wants you to do. That sometimes people get zealous and they jump the gun. And I'm reminded of a man that I think the Lord called him to the ministry, and he had the means to do it, so he chartered a plane and went to the bush to minister to people he knew nothing about. And he didn't allow God to train him. He went ahead of time and they killed him. Now, people will say, well, why would God allow something like that to happen? The Lord gave me a message a long time ago, back in the 80s. He said, because people was always talking about God allow this and he allow that. He allow the enemy to do this and he allow that to happen. He allow people to get cancer and all kind of crap. And that language didn't sit well in my spirit, man. See, the Holy Spirit is there to guide you into all truth. If you hear deception, and people preach deception sometimes, they don't mean any harm. They're trying to make sense of this life. But they teach anything. And people will amen anything. I've been to church all my life. I heard all kind of things. But the Lord knew that disturbed me. And he gave me this message. He said, I allow what you allow. So it's really man allowing this stuff to happen. And he probably, the man that did this, you know, he wasn't a hypocrite or anything. He was trying to do good. But he didn't understand. He probably thought or assumed that people would listen to him. Those people killed that man. God has to train us for what he gives us to do. Just because he called you to the ministry don't mean that you're ready to do everything that he has in his heart and mind for you to do. You have to be trained. You have to pay attention. Just like you receive salvation, you have to receive training. You have to receive understanding. When you study the word and things don't fit in your mind, you don't see it. You're supposed to knock, seek, and ask. Knock, seek, and ask till you learn it. And until you learn it, don't teach it. Wait. Wait on the Lord to prompt you. Wait on him to train you and thoroughly and give you a thorough understanding. Years went by. I read the scripture I'm about to read privately. I read it in my time, you know, as I study. And I couldn't connect the dots. I tried for years to connect the dots. And one day I said, Lord, I need you to show me this. Now, I guess about a decade went by. I studied it, I saw it, but I didn't start asking about it. Let's say about maybe 3 years went by before two or three years went by before I got my answer. I started studying it more fervently. And that's the story I just did in yesterday's broadcast called Oops. I said, Lord, what in the world are we going to, what are we going to title this? He said, Oops. I said, okay. I said, that sounds good to me. So the yesterday's broadcast is Oops. The other one before that is called False. And on the 6th, he gave me one called Death Rejection. I love the titles God give. He give me the title after I do it, so I don't know what he's going to give it of yet. You know, I don't know what he's going to give me the title for this one. But in yesterday's broadcast, we covered Balaam and how he taught Balak how to curse Israel. Now, years ago, I saw this, and I just knew at first when I, you know, many years ago I read this, and I didn't know how to connect the dots. So I said, maybe there's more than I know, you know, of this than I know about. One day I did a hard study of it, and I asked the Lord to teach me. And I just kept after him about it, and he showed it to me. At the right time, he showed it to me. Now, this is in Revelation chapter 2, and he's talking to the church at Pergamos. He said, and unto the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath a sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwells. Now watch verse 14. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So, you know, eating things sacrificed to idols was first, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Now, verse 14, it said Balaam taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication. So that bugged me. I went back to Numbers, and I read from chapter 20, around 22, all the way to 24, continually. I just could not connect the dots. And then one day, I read 25, verse 1. And the dots were, the Lord did it. He helped me see what happened. That's why at the end of the broadcast yesterday in Oops, I read, I said, I can't tell whether Balaam was being divisive or he just said, he was just clumsy saying, you know, he everything that he said honored God. But in his dialogue, he gave Balak the clue that he needed to cast a stumbling block before Israel. The only way to prevent this, in the way I explained it yesterday, Balak was very motivated. He was desperate. He was satanically desperate. He was not willing to give up on his quest. And he saw the loophole. I'm not even sure that Balaam actually got paid for his work, because Balak sent him away at the end of Numbers 24. He said, Balaam rose up. Balak was very angry. And he said, God has kept you from honor. You know, in verse 25 said, Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place, and Balak also went his way. The damage was done. But Balak may not have really known it. Balaam didn't know. I don't know if he understood that he was being divisive and showed him what to do, or just in his dialogue, he gave him the clue he needed to do damage. So it's important to see these things. You know, when you follow God in the first place, if he would have just obeyed God and not went, this would not have happened. And here it is, verse 11, Numbers 24, 11. He said, Verse 10, Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. And Balak said unto Balaam, I call thee to curse mine enemies, and thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Therefore now flee thou to thy place. I thought to promote thee unto great honor, but lo, the Lord kept thee back from honor. I'm not sure if Balaam got a dime for his efforts. But in chapter 23, verse 21, he said what Balaam wanted to hear. He said, he hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. And this is the clue they gave Balak the understanding of what to do. Because in verse 20, in chapter 25, verse 1. Now let's look at chapter 25 today. When I saw this, see, if you think like a king, especially a desperate king, he is he's trying to find a way to do what he's going to do. And look at verse 1. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. See that? The sacrifices was first. And the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself to Baal Peor. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. You see this? This was not an accident. Now, how in the world could some Moabite women just happen to go down there with food? They went down there and lured the men into their camps and did sacrifice, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods, and they commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Now whoredom, the first phase of whoredom is idolatry, or turning away from God, being enticed. All women are beautiful, whether they love God or whether they love Satan, because God made them. Satan didn't make anybody. So all people are beautiful people in their own right. But the enemy used their beauty to seduce these men. And they were ordered by the king, because the revelation that we just read, it said Balaam taught Balak how to snare Israel into fornication and idolatry, and the eating things sacrificed to idols came first, and then they were the beautiful women was the bait, and this was probably their natural way of doing things. So they didn't care; they were glad to obey their king, because they were seduced by Satan. Baal is Satan. You know, Peor is the place that they were at. And now earlier I mentioned that Baal, his father was named Beor, but the place that they went to was Peor. I thought that they called his father Beor and Peor, but the Peor is the place where all this happened. That's the third mountaintop that he went up. That's where I assume Balak got his idea to do this, or he realized what to do up there. Nevertheless, it all happened, and it's all bad. But let's continue with this chapter. Verse 1, and Israel abode in Shittim, the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. All the men that fell away, kill them, destroy them. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses, and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman, through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. You see, this a plague happened. I'm going to tell you something about sin. It's a serious offense. It does so much damage. God can't give victory to a satanic people. God cannot give victory to a satanic people. I'm going to say that one more time. God cannot give victory to a satanic people. You have to drive out all darkness. Everything that Satan, that's like Satan, got to go. I say this all the time. I say everything that's not like Jesus got to go. And that includes people. People that won't make up their mind to obey God. Enoch told his sons not to fellowship with our double-hearted people. Now, I don't drive people out personally, but I speak the language of God, and the only people that would be attracted to me are people who are likewise. People that want, that love the world. Eventually, your life, if you do it God's way, it's going to attract what's of God. It will also attract what's of Satan. But Satan can't hang around the glory of God. And no man will. If you love God, people will, they'll find a way not to be around you. And that's good. I'm not trying to drag people around me. I'm not trying to drag anybody around me. I'm going to love God and do it his way. And the word will either draw them or drive them, based on what's in their heart. I'm not trying to have fellowship with people that don't want to know God. I love everybody. I don't know who's who. I can't tell. I'm just a man. But see, you got to have fail safes. So when I do things God's way, I just kind of watch what happens. I'm not going to change. I'm trying to get more grounded and rooted in the Lord. Everything that's not like Jesus got to go. But everything that's like him, I want it. And I will do all that's in his heart. And the people that love Jesus, they call Jesus, your mother and your brothers are calling you. He said, he that doeth the will of God is my mother and my brother and my family. That's how you be. That's the way it is. That's what the King of Kings did. We got to be just as dedicated as Jesus in all of our ways. I'm not trying to drag people into the kingdom of God. I bear fruit. I don't bear branches If they receive what God is saying, they'll become branches. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branch. So God's people are the branches. Branches bear fruit. You don't see a branch, you don't see branches bearing branches. I know they have offshoots, but when you bear fruit, then the fruit becomes a tree all by itself if it's a tree. But if it's a grapevine, you bear fruit. That's what we're designed to do. And if you're bearing fruit, he'll purge you, so you'll bear more fruit. And that's why that's what I do. But people that love the world, they got a problem with it. And if they have conflict within, they're going to have a problem with me. I understand this. But I'm going to be good to them. I love them. I love every soul. But that's just the way it is. So when you look at these scriptures, Eliezer, he got a javelin and killed both of them. You can't just pity-pat with sin. You got to drive it out. Now look what happened. I'm going to read that again. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation, took a javelin in his hand. Nobody told him to do it. And he went after the men of Israel into the tent, the man of Israel into the tent, and thrust both of them through the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. This day, a plague. A plague was stopped when this happened. Because people were getting interested in the debauchery of Baal Peor. Okay, and those that died in the plague were 24,000 people. All this happened because a man of God talked too much to the wrong man. If God tells you something in the first place, stick with it by all means. It's for your own safety and the safety of many others. Look at the amount of people that died in the plague because of that. Not to mention what happened after that. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, hath turned away my wrath, away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Do you see what almost happened? The children of Israel almost got consumed in the jealousy of the Lord. But he stayed that because he acted. And when people saw that, they drove the sin out of their life. God is reacting to our hearts. He always has, he always will. Not what we do outwardly, it's what's in the heart. Adultery starts in the heart. Fornication and adultery and witchcraft, all that's of the heart. Those are sins that come out of the heart. He said, wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace. A covenant of peace. And he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. I'm going to tell you something. If you do something in the name of the Lord like him, you're not the only one affected. The children that hadn't been born yet from your body, you affect them. You carry your generation in present time if you haven't born, had children yet. All the children that come after you act in God's ways are affected by your faithful actions, just like they're affected by negative actions and satanic actions. So as a man and a woman of God, you can control to a measure what happens in your lineage. So have faith in your, if you know you've been seeking after the Lord before you had children, have faith in your children. Have faith, have the faith. Don't worry about them. Don't look at what they don't have. Look at the covenant that you had with God and the way you behave yourself and carried yourself before they were born. Because God made them of you and your spouse. All right, continuing. Now, the name of the Israelite that was slain, even that was slain in the with the Midianitish woman was Zimri the son of Salu, a prince of a chief house among the Simeonites. So he was a Simeonite. He was of Simeon. And the name of the woman, the Midianitish woman that was slain, was Cozbi, the daughter of Zur. He was head over a people and of a chief house in Midian. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, vex the Midianites and smite them. Now look, other people are dying too because of what Balaam did. He gave that desperate man a clue. For they vex you with their wiles, wherewith they have beguiled you in the matter of Peor and in the matter of Cozbi, the daughter of a prince of Midian, their sister, which was slain in the day of the plague for Beor's sake. So Cozbi was very instrumental in all this foolishness that happened. Numbers 26:1. And it came to pass after the plague that the Lord spake to Moses and Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saying, take the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel from 20 years old and upward throughout their father's house, all that are able to go to war in Israel. All right, they had a war, and they had strict instructions, and I'm not going to read all of that, but the first from, we're going to skip over to chapter 31. Now, they had protocols that they had. It's very important to study them. One of the things, I'm just kind of briefly go over it if I can. When they took possessions, the possessions had to go through the fire because these people did wickedly. I have heard of people buying relics and things from like the antique stores, antiques, and having, you know, people say they have demonic problems after they buy these relics. When possessions of people work for what they get. And if they're doing satanic things, you know, I don't understand this fully how it works, but I know for a fact that they had protocols when they took metals and possessions. They had to send them through the fire and they had to cleanse it before it could come into the camp of Israel. This is something we need to take notice of. You know, when you buy things, you need to make sure it's blessed, and you need to bless it. And it's a good idea in this world, whatever you receive, you need to know what God has to say about it. Don't just go buy a car from anybody. As a mechanic, I'm going to tell you something else. People who love God, they get the most miles out of their cars with the least amount of trouble. But people, you can't fix a drug dealer's car. See, I worked on cars for all kind of people, and they were into all kind of things. But drug dealers, their cars do crazy stuff. And I could tell, there's no need to tell you. I'm telling you, you can't fix a drug dealer's car, and his possessions are cursed. And a man that loves God, Pastor Jackson, said he had a car he couldn't tear it up because he used to take people to church in it. He said, and it wasn't the kind of car that lasts long. My mother had a Dodge 400. I told her to buy it, and she drove that car a good decade, and them cars didn't last long at all. But they went to church in it, out of town, and you know, it lasted a long time. Nevertheless, possessions of people can be blessed and cursed, or cursed. Nevertheless, just an aside, something to think about. Okay, Numbers 31. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, avenge the children of Israel of the Midianites. Afterward shalt thou gather unto thy people. Afterward thou shalt be gathered unto thy people. This is one of the last things Moses did. And before he went to war, they had to, things had to be made right. The justice of God, he starts it with the people. Before they went to war, if you read the chapters between 25 and 31, you'll see what I'm talking about. Okay. The Lord spake to Moses, saying, avenge the children of Israel of the Midianites. Afterward thou shalt be gathered unto thy people. And Moses spake unto the people, saying, arm yourselves unto the war, and let them go against the Midianites, and avenge the Lord of Midian. Of every tribe 1,000 throughout all the tribes of Israel shall ye send to the war. So there were delivered out of the thousands of Israel 1,000 of every tribe, 1,000 armed for war. And Moses sent them to the war, 1,000 of every tribe, them and Phinehas and the son of Eleazar, the priest, to the war with the holy instruments and the trumpets to blow in his hand. And they warred against the Midianites as the Lord commanded Moses, and they slew all the males. Now watch this. And they slew the kings of Midian beside the rest of them that were slain, namely Evi, Rechem, Zer, Hur, Reba, 5 kings of Midian. Balaam also, the son of Beor, they slew with the sword. Now, I call this the first Messiah, you know. But, you know, and Balaam, if he was being divisive, he deserved it. And also, he was in the sin. And they slew him possibly because what else would he do? If a man becomes reckless, see, in the kingdom of God, you got to be under God's authority. Or when you carry, when you handle holy things, you got to do it right. See, a man can say the wrong thing to the wrong person and cause so many problems. All right, and the children of Israel took all the women of the Midian captives, and their little ones, and took the spoil of their cattle, and their flocks and their goods. Now they did some things right and wrong. Moses corrected. I'm out of time. We'll pick up here tomorrow.